Blog Talk Radio.
Gotta keep reading, 'cause this book's gonna be a good book. 'Cause this book's gonna be a good book. 'Cause this book's gonna be a good, good book to read.
By Ocoee Middle School, Florida's Gotta Keep Reading. Welcome to It's Storytime Gather Round on the World of Ink Network at Blog Talk Radio with your hosts, authors J.D. Holliday and myself, Christy Condaleo. Three Saturdays a month, we will be here to read a story or two. If you have any questions or comments, you can call in after the stories are read. Our number is 714-242-5259. That was 714-242-5259. Or join us in the chat room here at Blog Talk Radio. It's Saturday, 10 a.m. Eastern Standard Time on October 27, 2012. It's Storytime Gather Round can be listened to live at blogtalkradio.com/World of Ink Network, or you can listen to it on demand at any time you'd like at the same address or on iTunes by researching World of Ink Network. You can also go to our website for information. It's storytimeforkids.blogspot.com. We want to remind you that the Halloween ebook, Matt Shelley's Halloween Misadventure, is at lulu.com for free. Just visit lulu.com and type in Matt Shelley in the search bar, and it'll take you right to it. Parents, if you don't have an e-reader, that's all right. You can download, it's also free, the Adobe Digital Editions to your computer, and you can read it that way. Adobe Digital Editions Installer can be found on the same page as the book. It's just down on the right-hand side of the page. Just click Install and follow the directions. Hey, JD, continue our Halloween specials. We have two more stories today.
Yes, hi, Christy. Today we have Scott Nicholson is here, and he's going to read two of his stories, If I Were Your Monster and Too Many Witches. So let's welcome author Scott Nicholson. Hi, Scott.
Tell
hey, Scott.
About hey, J.D. and Christy. Thanks for having me on.
Great. We're so glad you could be with us. Tell us what story you decided to read first, and tell us about it, and then you can begin reading.
I'd like to read If I Were Your Monster. I was kicking around the idea of Dr. Seuss is probably my favorite all-time author, and I wanted to do a book kind of in his tradition, but with some good fun words and sort of like monsters that are your friends and not being scary, kind of to help my own daughter not be afraid of the dark and monsters and stuff and kind of make them fun. And I met an artist, Lee Davis, who is actually not that far from me, and he does really cool monster drawings, and we just worked together, and it just came out better than I ever imagined, so I'm really pleased with the book. I'm happy for the chance to read it.
We'll go right ahead.
All right, If I Were Your Monster by Scott Nicholson, illustrated by Lee Davis. If I were your monster, I'd slither at your feet. I'd slobber, snort, and click my claws at people on the street. I'd always stay beside you and watch you with one eye to make sure all the scary humans didn't make you cry. If I were your werewolf, we'd run beneath the moon and howl our names across the woods until the afternoon. I'd tickle you with whiskers and wag my shaggy tail. If you got lost, I'd track you with my super sense of smell. If I were your ghostling, I would walk right through the wall, would rattle chains and wail and moan until your mother called. I'd hide beneath the sheets and I would wear them in the wind, my grave condition hidden just to have you as a friend. If I were your vampire, I'd tuck you into bed, then change into a bat and fly with eyes a glowing red. I'd kiss you sweetly on the cheek and I would never bite, except the necks of people creeping on you in the night. If I were your wizard, I would cast a silly spell that turned your socks to lizard skins that walked all by themselves. I'd cook a stinky pot of poison, ride you on my broom, and have you back at home in time to clean your messy room. If I were your mummy, I would wrap you with a hug, fresh from excavations in my pyramid they dug. I'd mumble things Egyptians said and cast an ancient curse on anyone who dared to make your trepidation worse. If I were your goblin, I would lurk the riverbank and come out in the morning mist to play a naughty prank. My tricks would make the bully boys all shiver in their spines. They'd never pick on you again as long as you were mine. If I were your skeleton, I'd never dance alone. We'd waltz across the ballroom to the rhythm of my bones. If my skull fell off my neck, you'd put it back just so. Every time I smiled at you, all my teeth would show. If I were your scarecrow, I would never hang around in lonely fields where dirty birds were picking at the ground. My heart so warm and full of straw, my grin a stitch of yarn, I'd spend the winter in your house instead of in the barn. If I were your critter, and you a critter too, we'd hold hands against the darkness and be brave for me and you. We'd close our eyes together underneath the moonlight beams and scare those other nightmare creatures right out of our dreams. Sleep tight. Don't let the creepy crawlers bite. The end.
That's a very creepy story. I did mention to you off air that my grandson, who I really rarely get to read any of the stories for the show on, he's 7, and I read your stories to him, and he just absolutely loved them.
Yeah, I imagine them as read aloud, and I did put a couple of words that are a little bit old for kids, but hopefully the parents will take the time to explain the word and help expand
right.
their vocabulary, which Dr. Seuss does to great effect.
Right.
And,
I agree with you. I agree with you. I think it's helpful. My grandson's always asking, what's that word mean? You know, and so it helps them. It really does, I think. Okay, do you want to tell us about your second book, and then you can begin reading that one?
Okay, this is called Too Many Witches, and it's kind of the idea of playing on the idea of too many cooks spoil the too many cooks in the kitchen will spoil the stew. These are too many witches who are planning a party, and this is also illustrated by Lee Davis. Too Many Witches. October was getting old, and Monica Moonsweep was planning her big Halloween party. She had invited her 3 favorite witchy friends, because witches like to show off their magic. Each Halloween, the 4 friends gathered to cast their most drastic spells and see who could be the most dreadful. Monica had to decorate her house, which stood on the edge of a cold, stony cliff. Her pet crow, whose name was Craven, perched on her shoulder while she worked. She hung the skeletons that shivered in the wind. She sprinkled dust on all her cobwebs and carved the pumpkins until they spat seeds from their grins. She brushed her 13 black cats, who hissed secret words. she draped a tablecloth over her favorite rotten coffin. When her house was perfectly messy, it was time for the most important part of a Halloween party, the witch's brew. Monica Moonsweep dragged a smoky old kettle out of the pantry and hung it over the fire. The green flames licked at the kettle. Monica took her favorite spell book off the shelf. It had pages and pages of wicked recipes. She searched the spell book, but didn't find a recipe that was awful enough for her party. She wanted the strongest witch's brew ever, so she grabbed all her nastiest ingredients. She started with some squishy squid sauce and then dropped in some pickled possum whiskers. She stirred and added a squirt of worm squeezings. The kettle was getting stinky, but Monica didn't stop there. In went the octopus eyeballs. Monica stirred the kettle, then lifted the big spoon to her lips and tasted. The witch's brew was sickly sour, grandly gross, diabolically disgusting. But something was missing. The party was only an hour away, and Monica was frantic. Her friends would laugh at her bad magic and say she ought to stick to blueberry muffins. Desperate, she sent Craven off to see Wendy Wartz, who was Monica's best friend. Wendy flew right over on her broom. "It needs some toadstool cheese," Wendy said after tasting the gruesome brew. Monica added some, and they both tasted again.
"Still not right," they both said.
"Samantha Stumpwater will know what to do," Wendy said, so Monica sent Craven off to find Samantha. Shortly after, Samantha swooped through the back door on her broom. She took one snuffly smell of the kettle and said, "Slug powder, of course. You can't make a decent witch's brew without slug powder." Monica happened to have a jar of it stuck way in the back of the pantry. Slug powder was so bitter that nobody used it much these days, but if Samantha said use it, then Monica would. Samantha was her friend, and Monica didn't want to hurt her feelings. Monica stirred in the slug powder, and they each took a taste from the spoon. Their lips puckered. "Terrible," Monica said, "but not terrible enough." Off went Craven again, this time to Demora Dark's house. The three witches were hovering over the kettle, staring down into the oily slime, when Demora flew down the chimney in a rush of smoke and ashes.
"A witch's party without me," she asked.
Demora had forgotten she had been invited. She was 300 years old and was a little absent-minded. She parked her broom in the bathroom instead of the broom closet. "You were invited," Monica said, "but the party hasn't started yet. It's not midnight, and the witch's brew isn't ready." Demora peered into the kettle. She was as blind as a bat, but her long nose sniffed the hideous brew.
"Of course it's not ready," she said. "You need some crawdad claws."
Monica had no crawdad claws, but she didn't want to tell Demora, so she brought out a box of salamander flakes instead. Demora couldn't tell the difference, so the old witch dashed the flakes into the kettle and stirred. By now the brew was plopping and blurping, raising a stench so strong the skeletons wilted. The pumpkins closed their noses, and the 13 black cats hid up in the attic with the bats. Monica, Wendy, Samantha, and Demora looked at each other and smiled with crooked teeth. "Perfect," Monica said. Demora put the spoon to her withered, cracked lips. She swished the brew around her mouth, and then her face turned lizard green. She spat the brew into the fire.
"Yuck," she said. "It's too sweet."
"Too sweet?" Wendy Wartz asked. Samantha tasted and frowned.
"Nice and yummy, like the gingerbread somebody's grandmother would make."
"Oh, no," Monica said. "The party's ruined."
"Don't blame the slug powder," Samantha said.
"Or the toadstool cheese," Wendy said.
"And certainly not the clawdad claws," Demora said.
What will we do? Monica asked.
Cast a spell on it, Demora said, and they all started shouting and hexing and saying, abracadabra, and bubble, bubble, toil and trouble.
The witch's brew changed from ugly orange to sundown purple. The four witches pushed one another, all trying to yell the loudest. Each witch wanted her spell to be the one that fixed the brew. Books fell from the shelf. The pumpkins closed their eyes, and the cats yowled upstairs. The fire crackled and laughed, and the spells rattled the windows. The whole house shook like the last brown leaf on a chilly tree. Suddenly, the kettle exploded in a cloud of noxious steam, and the witch's brew splattered all over the walls. The four witch friends were thrown to the floor, their pointy hats knocked off their heads. They sat up blinking as brew dripped from the ceiling. The puddles of brew squiggled and squirmed until they found cracks in the floor and slithered away.
I guess we ruined the party, Samantha said.
Monica looked at the messy room, then at the grandfather clock.
It's not too late.
She hopped on her broom with Craven sitting behind her and flew out the window. The three witches were still adjusting their hats when Monica returned, carrying a mysterious box. She put the box on the table and opened it.
Pizza, just in time for midnight.
Having friends is the best magic of all, Monica said, and the four happy witches sat down to eat. But they added some batwing butter and goose gizzards just for fun. The end.
Very nice. They're so cute. That's so cute, Scott. We're barely able not to laugh. Your voices are so wonderful. Your voices just make the story.
Yeah, they're to be read. And one of my favorite moments as an author was when my little niece was over right before Christmas and I gave her a copy. She's about four. And she said, I don't want no dumb old monster books. And then my daughter read to her. And then she was like, read them again, read them again. I think that's my most favorite author moment of my career.
Aww.
You have such wonderful voices when you do it.
Yeah. Yeah, I was ready for to hear Christy start laughing. It was just so cool.
I held my breath.
So, Scott, tell us where people can buy your books, your children's books.
Well, they're on most major ebook markets. Should be on Kindle, Nook, Apple, Kobo readers. Get them through most tablets and a lot of basically about anywhere you can get an ebook. There are paper books in most of the major markets. They're hard to find them in stores, but you can also get them. You can ask your library to order them, or some of the libraries have them in ebook version, so you can check them out for free if you have the library that has ebooks. Sometimes you can check them out from home. So mostly electronic, but also paper copies.
Right, and they can order the paper copy in stores, I'm sure, right?
Yeah, and you can buy them from me, and I'll sign them. They're on my website, hauntedcomputer.com.
Okay.
So you can get them that way, too.
All right. Why don't you tell us about some of your other children's books and some of your other books? I know you have many books out.
Yeah, other children's books. One of my favorites is Duncan the Punkin, which is a great Halloween book, which I actually haven't had printed in paper yet, but it's out in ebook, and it's about a naughty little pumpkin whose mother's trying to protect him in the pumpkin patch when Halloween rolls around and the farmers coming to harvest the pumpkins, and then there's a scary scarecrow in there. And I got one called I Declare. That's more of a fun father-daughter book than it's not really spooky. We're working on a new one called Bad Day for Balloons, which hopefully will be out by Christmas. And then I hope to do more with Lee Davis just because his art's so fun and colorful. So I hope people can see the pictures on your website and get to see a color version of them somewhere because they're really vibrant.
Yes, they are. They're really cute books. I just love them. And let me see. And you already told us your site, but is there any other places people can find you? and your book?
Yeah, I'm actually on Facebook, author Scott Nicholson. I'm on Twitter, E. Scott Nicholson. I'm on Pinterest and Goodreads, just about everywhere. You plug in Scott Nicholson, you'll find me. There's several Scott Nicholsons, but I'm the weird one. And I also write a lot of them.
Go ahead, tell us some of your adult books.
Yeah, I've just written maybe 30 books. Now I'm getting foreign translations done, so they're widely available, mostly in e-book, but most of them can be ordered in paper too. But I just released The Home, which is set at a haunted group home for troubled children, and it's in development as a movie, so hopefully things will move along and that'll hit the screen one day, fingers crossed.
You kids who are
under 17 probably won't get this. Well, I don't know. Maybe PG-13, but
Parents can make that decision.
Yeah, right.
Yeah, definitely. Well, that's
and then
cool.
Thank you. Go ahead, Scott.
And the Red Church is a popular one. A lot of my books are set in the Southern Appalachian Mountains, using local legends, ghost stories, and things. So, but I like some mysteries, thrillers, and the children's books are fun. I've done comic books. I just like all kinds of storytelling. I just think it's so much fun.
Mm-hmm. Oh yeah, that is great. Well, thank you, Scott, for joining us today and reading both "If I Were Your Monster" and "Too Many Witches."
Yes, thank you so much, Scott. It was fun.
Well, thank you for having me on, JD.
Well, our time is just about up. I'm Christy Condaleo, and you can find me and my books at eppiescreations.com. Remember, you can find the e-book of Matt Shelley's Halloween Misadventure at lulu.com for free. My co-host is JD Holliday, and you can find her and her books at thebookgarden.net. And you can always find us at storytimeforkids.blogspot.com. You can see our shows and all the shows on the World of Ink Network at blogtalkradio.com/worldofinknetwork. This week, join Marcia Casper Cook and her guest author, Kathy S. Barton, on Tuesday, October 30th at 9 p.m. Eastern Standard Time on A Good Story is a Good Story. Other World of Ink Network shows include The Writing Mama Show with host author Virginia Grenier, book discussion with host Fran Lewis, Families Matter show with V.S. Grenier. Thank you for joining us. Please join us again next week, November 3rd, for The Rainforest Party by Lorraine Day and Mama Grizzly Bear by Margot Fink. Bye, everyone.
Bye.